Get updates from David Glenn on Twitter by following at David Glenn Show.
I'm going to tell you things that I know, and you can put whatever amount of weight on or not on each of these, but I'm getting a lot of questions from a lot of directions. Some of you are in catch-up mode on this WikiLeaks story. Let's start here. Wake Forest initiated a program-wide investigation last month after a team equipment manager discovered documents inside Louisville's Papa John's Cardinal Stadium one day before the Deacons were playing the Cardinals in a football game. Your plays are found by your team manager at your opponent's stadium the day before the game. This does not happen. Like some people that we know have covered or played this game and coached it for 50 years, they don't have another example like this one, okay? It is truly rare, and I believe this case is actually unique, meaning one of a kind. The documents showed specific Demon Deacons plays, some of which the team had not yet run this season, which means Louisville would not have seen them in the film study, and some of which they were planning to use for the first time against the Louisville Cardinals. David Cutcliffe of Duke joined our show last month when this first came out. If you remember what he said, yes, there's value to knowing that an opponent has a play it's planning to use that they haven't used before. Now, if you've seen it on film a half a dozen or a dozen times, you're not getting any secret information. But you prepare for your opponent's most used plays and formations. That's what you do all week in practice and film study. But to find a new play, to be handed that when it wasn't on your radar at all, yes, there's a benefit to that. There's a value to that. Interestingly, Coach Cut, his bottom line, and I'm paraphrasing here, was even if he had the ability to get these kind of documents, he would rather not. He says it would be too confusing. Like, he wouldn't know when that play was coming or if it was going to be coming at all. He feels like if he had that quote-unquote advantage, he would be conflicted. He'd be worried about confusing his own coaches and players. What do you really know? Okay, well, you know they have that play. You still don't know when it's coming or if they're going to use it. So he actually said, given the option, he wouldn't take the mythical briefcase filled with secret info from his opponent. So that's an interesting perspective. Other things we know. There was a huge meeting yesterday with IMG officials. That's the media partner of a lot of schools, including Wake Forest. Tommy Elrod's direct sports employer, IMG, and Wake Forest officials. I was told that many people in attendance at that meeting, and even more outside, were shocked at this news. So obviously Tommy Elrod knew this story was building over the last month, but those very close to him, within IMG, within Wake Forest Athletic Department, many people had no idea, even as of yesterday, that the finger was ultimately going to be pointed to former Wake Forest walk-on quarterback, now broadcaster, decade or so with Jim Grobe as an assistant coach, Tommy Elrod. So it was a shock to many of them as of yesterday, even as it was a shock to the rest of us a little bit later in the day. What else do I know? As a broadcaster, I have corresponded with Tommy these last 3 years. He scouted Wake Forest opponents as if he were still coaching. Darren, you got a little window into this at ACC football kickoff when we were hanging out with Tommy at that cocktail party event. He thinks and discusses and researches formations and tendencies of the opponent. Now, of course, that can make you an unbelievably educated and informed broadcaster. That's, man, you want to add some color?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's part of the benefit of having an ex-coach on the broadcast. Yeah.
And an ex-player and an ex-coach. That's a valuable perspective. He never stopped being a coach is my bottom line. He never stopped being a coach. And if you ever heard Wake Forest football broadcasts, it was not your typical ex-player color commentary, man. He knew tendencies. He knew formations. He had to do that stuff while serving Jim Grobe as an assistant for 10-plus years. He never stopped doing it, which I think is an interesting part of this story, as now, of course, he's had the finger pointed at him as the guy behind WikiLeaks. Elrod did work for the same investing company investment company that has managed the Wake Forest endowment of more than $1 billion. That just kind of cracks me up. Again, there's a lot of speculation. That is a fact. He worked for that company. He had his sports job with IMG. He had his non-sports job with an investment company that managed Wake's endowment, man. That's a big company. That's a billion-dollar-plus endowment. So we talk about how he always spoke of his love for his alma mater, his admiration and respect for that culture. He was not only willing to hang around after being let go when Jim Grobe resigned and be a part of the broadcast team. This is a guy who has spoken publicly about the merits of the Wake Forest culture as a university and the admirable aspects of the Wake Forest culture within the athletic department and the football program. He even had the day job further serving his alma mater in a different capacity, helping raise money to extend that endowment. Other things we know, Elrod, this is a personal thing, but I thought it was worth mentioning. Tommy Elrod, think about 2014 as the calendar year where he came up with this scheme to essentially undermine the last 3 years of Wake Forest football, which is a perfect match for the three-year Dave Clawson era. Again, the amateur psychologist theory is he didn't like, after his playing days and assistant coaching days, many years of service falling by the wayside when Dave Clawson did not show interest in having Tommy Elrod on his staff. Theory is this is how he reacted by coming up with this scheme. I'm a student of human nature enough to know that there's a possibility. I've given you a list of things that I do know. These are facts. The speculation comes with what you do with these facts, and that's up to you. I have my own thoughts. You can have yours. But here are the facts. Tommy Elrod hatched this scheme in the year 2014. Tommy Elrod was dismissed as a football coach in 2013, and Tommy Elrod suffered the biggest personal tragedy of his life in 2012. He had a son born with a rare brain tumor, and his son died. His name was Byron. 8 days later. I've been around long enough to know that whether it's a spouse cheating on a spouse or a business dealing gone wrong, where something just didn't go wrong the way it can happen in business, but somebody stole from someone else, somebody embezzled from someone else, the personal types of things, not just, oh, our investment didn't work out. Personal type stuff. I've seen that change human beings. I have no idea what triggered Tommy Elrod in a way that I don't believe we have precedent for among any professional or college broadcaster in the history of our country. I don't believe there's a parallel to this case. Selling football, or not selling, handing football secrets to upcoming opponents of his own alma mater. We don't know if any money was involved. We do know that Tommy Elrod lost his newborn son, Byron, 8 days after Byron was born with a rare brain tumor back in late 2012 or the summer of 2012. We do know that he lost the job that he loved in the winter of 2013, and the evidence suggests that he hatched this scheme at some point in 2014. That's a back-to-back-to-back whopper combination right there. Again, connecting the dots is more speculation. Everything I have told you is factual as the backdrop to this case that everybody's still having a hard time wrapping their brain around. Wake did say no members of the Wake Athletic Department, football staff, or players were involved in any way in these actions. They also said their conclusions are based on, quote, emails, text messages, and phone records. We'll see if the ACC and the NCAA ask for those for their own inquiries. Dave Clawson, of course, said he was extremely disappointed and used the words incomprehensible and betrayal after allowing Elrod access to players, team functions, film room, and practices. It is a Corleone special, man. Never take sides against the family. Never take sides against your team. Never take sides against your alma mater in that case. He wore the uniform. He coached on the sidelines at Wake. And he's the guy pointed at as the central figure in WakeyLeaks. He has hired an attorney. He is not speaking to the public. He deleted his Twitter account. He deleted his LinkedIn account. And his non-football employer, that investment company I mentioned, no longer lists Tommy Elrod as their business development director.
Have a question you want DG to answer on The David Glenn Show? Email your questions to dglenn@accsports.com.